ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, the birth of Lord Krishna, text 29. Janmate maya saupapo. Janmate maya saupapo. Mavidyan madhusudana. Mavidyan Madhusudana Samudvije Bhavaddeto Samudvije Bhavaddeto Kangsad Aham Adhiradhi Kangsad Aham Adhiradhi Janmate maya saupapo Mavidyan Madhusudana Samudvije Bhavaddeto Kangsad Aham Adhiradhi
Ladies.
Mate maya saupapo Avidya madhusudana Samudvije Bhavaddeto Kamsaraham adhiradhi
Janma, the birth, te, of your lordship, mayi, in my womb, asau, that comes on, papaha, extremely sinful, mavidyat, may be unable to understand, madhusudan, O Madhusudana, Samudvije, I am full of anxiety. Bhavadheto, because of your appearance. Kangsat, because of Kamsa, with whom I have had such bad experience. Aham, I, Adhir Adhi, have become more and more anxious. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Madhusudan, because of your appearance, I'm becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Purport. Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudan. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, who were hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kamsa. Yet because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kamsa could kill him. Instead of thinking of the unlimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection, and therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. Janmate maya saupapo mavidyan madhusudana samudvije bhavadeto kamsa daham madiradi. O Madhusudan, because of your appearance, I'm becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. O Magyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vacha alam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vandre sri guru dinotaranam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanyeshwaram vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasundubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. With the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So Devaki is speaking here to Vishnu, and she's in great anxiety. She's great anxiety because she has very bad experience with her brother, Kamsa, who killed all of her previous children. And so she is asking Vishnu to transform or to hide himself so that he won't be killed. From a logical point of view, this all seems fairly contradictory. Yet, achintya kaluye tang starkena na yojayet. Without the inconceivable potency of the Lord, we cannot make sense of the spiritual dimension. So the main topics here are anxiety and affection. Have you ever been in anxiety? Okay, as a little mind exercise, think of the three top anxieties in your life right now. Can you do that? Do you have three? Okay, just three, the three top ones. And now ask yourself the question, are any of these three related to Krishna or to your devotional service? Some are shaking their heads, and some are thinking, and some are smiling. Devaki's only anxiety was Krishna's safety and Krishna's welfare. She said, let me hide you, and Kamsa will become very upset and angry because he won't find you, and thus he will retaliate against me, but that's okay. I can handle that. But I want you to be safe. That is the mood, that is the attention, that is the affection of a mother. Now, we are hearing these beautiful prayers. And the question came up, what is the difference between Devaki and Yasoda? Because they're both the mother of Krishna. In fact, we know from the writings of our acharyas that Krishna simultaneously appeared in Mathura, in the prison cell of Kamsa, and he also appeared to Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda. Now, how is this possible? For Krishna, nothing is impossible. He is the supreme magician, he is the supreme transcendental actor. So he makes dramatical appearances in this world. And the acharyas have explained how he is doing it, why he is doing it, what is the purpose. Another topic came up about the Krishna in Vrindavan and the Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, first chapter, text 67. This is the translation. The Krishna known as Yadu Kumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dwarka. But Krishna, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. Purport. This verse is included in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. So Krishna of Mathura and Krishna of Dwarka are Vasudev Krishna, and the Krishna of Vrindavan is Swayam Bhagavan, the original Krishna. Now, what is the difference? It is a very slight difference, yet a remarkable difference, because the affection of Devaki was in Aishwarya, was in awe and reverence and in opulence and steeped in knowledge. Therefore, it was more formal and it was less pure than Yasoda's affection. Mother Yasoda's affection is completely pure and innocent. Whenever any idea of Godhood, any idea of supremacy of the Lord comes into the picture, she doesn't want to hear of it. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill for 7 days on the little pinky of his left hand, Mother Yashoda believed that Nanda Baba held up Govardhan Hill with the help of Balaram. That was her mood, that was her vision. She could not tolerate the idea that Krishna would hold up Govardhan Hill. It was not acceptable to her. She was fully convinced that the Yamalarjuna trees were felled by strong gusts of wind. They just blew the trees over. It was not Krishna who did it. Because Krishna is my little Lala. He's the one who cries out for my milk. And he cannot possibly do such things. Even when Devaki was speaking to Mother Yasoda in Kurukshetra, when the Brijbasis and the other members of the Yadu dynasty united, and she was telling so many things and so many glorifications and philosophy, and Mother Yasoda was there and she was nodding and she was smiling, and inside of her head she was simply thinking, Krishna is my darling boy and I want to feed him, I want to protect him. And she could not relate to anything that Devaki was talking about. I'm sure we've had similar experiences in our lives when people are trying to tell us very important things, but because it doesn't speak to our heart, so we just block it out because we're already convinced of a different topic. Now, the conviction that she had was that Krishna is no one else but my little boy, and I need to protect him, I need to nourish him, and I make sure he's well. That is the only thing that Mother Yasoda is meditating upon. And this is beautifully described a little later in the 8th chapter in text 25. 10th canto. When Mother Yasoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety. And their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection. For this was aroused within their minds. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada. All these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in the Brahma Samhita as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, there is crying, and there are other feelings similar to those of the material world. But because the reality of these feelings is in the transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Yasoda and Rohini enjoyed them transcendentally. So Yasoda is always anxious for Krishna's well-being and for Krishna's protection. Any of you are parents, you may have a similar type of experience. You always want to know, where is my child? Is my child safe? And what does my child need? That is the primary modus operandi, the primary meditation of Mother Yasoda. And thus, she is always worried about animals who may hurt Krishna, about others who may attack Krishna. She's always worried that Krishna might get hungry. So she's continuously cooking and sending food to the forest. Not only sending picnic, also sending other types of snacks and items, because Krishna might be hungry and he has to eat. That is her constant meditation. So her anxiety is completely focused on Krishna. Prabhupada calls it Krishna anxiety. So ask yourself, how much Krishna anxiety do you have in your life? Do you have enough Krishna anxiety in your life? Never enough Krishna anxiety in our life, right? So we'll speak a little later how to increase the Krishna anxiety in our life. But first, we'd like to focus on this verse by Rupa Goswami. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam anukulyena krishnanam shilanam bhakti rutama. That service has to be anukul, it has to be favorable. The demons are also focused on Krishna, but not in a favorable way. So the service has to be, the attention has to be favorable, so that it is actually pleasing to Krishna. Now, you remember text 22? Now you have to be mindful. This is Prabhupada in his last few months here on the planet. So he is translating while he's in Vrindavan. And this is the end of the purport of text 22. As Kamsa was not expected to kill the beautiful child of Devaki and Vasudev, the uncivilized society, although unhappy about the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, cannot be expected to stop it. Yet we must face many difficulties in many different ways. Although Krishna cannot be killed, Vasudev, as the father of Krishna, was trembling because in affection he thought that Kamsa would immediately come and kill his son. Now it comes. Are you ready? Similarly, although the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna are not different, and no asuras can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asuras can stop this movement in any part of the world. Prabhupada is exhibiting in his own deep ecstasy the emotion of Vatsalya Ras towards ISKCON, which he created. And he sees that ISKCON is none different from Krishna. And he knows that Krishna is okay. Krishna will always be okay. He has always been okay. But I need to protect him. I have to make sure he's okay. That was Prabhupada's mood. That was his deep absorption. That was his deep meditation. Nowadays we hear so many discussions on what is ISKCON going to do for me when I get old? Has this thought ever crossed your mind? Never. We all got pure devotees here. Some of us who have passed the midway mark, maybe that thought can come sometimes in your mind. Or people may ask you, well, what's ISKCON going to do for you, O brahmachari, or senior most brahmachari? What's ISKCON going to do for you? Huh? But think not what the country will do for you. Think what you should do for the country. We may think, oh, ISKCON is 50 years old, so that's pretty, 50-year-old. Should be able to deliver something, right? We know this movement will go on for the next 10,000 years, so 50 years in comparison to 10,000 years is like a 6-month-old baby. It's about 0.5% of the lifespan. Do you ever go up to a 6-month-old baby and say, hey, what are you going to do for me? Are you going to do something for me? No. No. Our mood, our attitude should be, What can I do for you, right? 6-month-old, you got to protect it. You got to nourish it. You got to make sure it's all right. Sometimes when people connect to the Aishwarya, to the externals of ISKCON, they think, yes, it's buildings and positions and titles and opulences. But they fail to connect to the simplicity, to the childlike ISKCON that Prabhupada is speaking about, that he wants to protect, that he wants to nurture, and that he wants to expand. We all need to connect to that childlike ISKCON in the mood of Mother Yasoda, in the mood of simplicity, in the mood of service, in the mood of anxiety, in the mood of readiness to take on disturbances and difficulties for the sake of service. How much Krishna anxiety do we have in our lives? When we opened our little storefront in San Francisco, reopened a place after so many decades, after the program, I'm supposed to drive my spiritual master to the place where he was staying. So I was walking to the car, and as walking to the car, he's walking behind me. I go for the keys and I realize there is no keys in my pocket. And it's a very strange feeling. Because usually you know where you put your keys, right? Do you know where you have your keys? You know where you have your keys, right? That's where you always put them. But if they're not there, then you got a problem. Especially if your guru is walking behind you. And so I didn't know what to do. So I just kept walking. I don't want to look like a fool, you know. And as I reach the car, somebody, and I'm in anxiety. I'm really going through this, you know. Like, what's he going to say? And it's really embarrassing. We just had over 100 people in a tiny storefront. Everybody was super happy, and he was happy, and right? Everybody goes home happy, right? Except that the stupid driver forgot the keys. And as I just reached the car, somebody taps me on the shoulder and hands me the keys. And I just take them without even looking who gave me the keys. And I go. Krishna wants to put his devotees in anxiety. And you all have your own experiences. You all have your own realizations of that. Krishna is ready to give us plenty of Krishna anxiety. Just like when we go on preaching, when we go on book distribution, every time we ask a person, excuse me, sir, we don't know if they're going to stop. We don't know how they're going to react. There's some anxiety there. You're going to ask them for money. There's a little anxiety there, right? That moment of truth when it's like silent. And then they look at you like, are you for real? Are you asking me for my money? Huh? Yeah. And then you just have to say, Krishna, it's up to you. Do whatever you like. I'm fine with it. It's your call. It's your play. Huh? So you can have Krishna anxiety every moment of your life. And Krishna likes variety. He likes all different types of devotees. He loves Mother Yasoda. He also loves Devaki. Huh? He loves all his devotees. Sometimes we become a little stereotype and we think, oh, what I'm doing is most important. One time my spiritual master told me, when Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, he never talked about book distribution. He only talked about cows and Varnashram and Gurukul and raising kids. And I was looking at him and smiling and nodding my head, and in my heart I was thinking, Sankirtan Ki Jai. Because there's no contradiction. There's no contradiction. Because he was teasing me. He was just seeing if I pick up on it. So not what can I get from ISKCON, but what can I do for ISKCON? Today is also the disappearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who all have exemplified utmost humility, renunciation, and dedication, and taking on anxiety for the sake of Krishna. Why could they do so? Because they had something better. They had something more meaningful. They had something real. They had something substantial. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was old. Must have been in his late 70s, 80s. There was some problem in his home, some dispute, and in the middle of the night he had the realization. He had a vision. He had a calling. Direct order, go to Vrindavan. And he left immediately. He didn't think, oh hey, I worked 80 years to build up my position here in this world, you know. I'm respected, I'm part of this thing here. No, he walked. Went to Vrindavan with nothing. And then wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raghunath Bhatta, Mahaprabhu met him in East Bengal and sent him to Varanasi, and later on he went to Vrindavan. He knew how to chant the Bhagavatam in four different melodies. In every verse he could sing in four different tunes. He was very expert in cooking and singing kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. He worshipped Radha Govindadev for 40 years. All these Goswamis, they never endeavored to construct big temples. But when disciples came and resources came, they said, okay, you can build a temple, that's fine. But it was not their first focus. It was not their primary goal to go to Vrindavan to build temples. They gave everything up. They walked away from everything. Raghunath Das was probably the heir of the wealthiest people in Bengal at that time. Hiranyan Govardhan Majumdar. Confirmed. But he walked away from it because he had something better. So what is the substance of our bhajan? What is the inner life that we are trying to cultivate in Krishna consciousness? That is what the Goswamis are showing to us. And they're also showing to us that there is variety. There is variety. And Krishna loves variety. Sometimes we think everybody has to do what I'm doing. Because I'm doing it, so it must be the best thing, right? Vaisheshika Prabhu tells me that when Lady Diana and Charles, Prince Charles, got married. There was a couple in the UK, and they camped out in front of Buckingham Palace. They pitched a tent, and they stayed there overnight. And the next morning, as the sun came out, they had rolled out a huge banner, which said, Hare Krishna, congratulates Lady Di and Prince Charles. Guess what was on all the newspapers, on all the magazines, and on all the TV shows that day? Hare Krishna, congratulates. Now, some devotees may have thought, what is that? They're going to Buckingham Palace and camping out and putting out the sign, you know, for this mundane wedding. They had a different idea. But Krishna likes variety. So we should not dismiss other people's ideas just because they're not our ideas or because they're a little different. But trying to see and appreciate their dedication, their surrender, their mood of service and gratitude, that requires a little bit of introspection and humility, which the Goswamis are exemplifying to the utmost degree. I was distributing books on Market and Powell in San Francisco, and I met a very strong and assertive looking middle-aged man, and I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, yeah, I know who you are. You're the Hare Krishnas. And, you know, it's always like, okay, what next? He said, I'm from Auckland, New Zealand. I'm a state prosecutor. And I put a Hare Krishna in jail because he was beating his Hare Krishna wife and his Hare Krishna daughter. And I said, okay, I'm really sorry to hear that. But you have to know that there's always a rotten apple, and you can't blame the bunch for one. And just for your solace, in this book it is explained, the law of karma, that even if the law didn't get him, karma will. Krishna won't let him get off easy. So I asked him what happened. He said, just in brief. And then he said, but he walked because there was not enough evidence. So I said, well, sorry to hear that, but I'd like to give you this book as a gift, and if, you know, you like to give something as a token of appreciation, even $1, that would be acceptable. And he looked at me and he said, no, I can't give you $1. He said, I'll give you $10. People are not looking for perfection. People are looking for honesty. We've had our fair share of ISKCON history in those 50 years. If we do a little bit of introspection and a little bit of self-analysis and self-improvement, then I'm sure we can find something that could be done better. So that is the anxiety of the devotee. How can I serve Krishna better? Huh? Has it ever happened to you, after you've done the service, then Krishna gives you the feedback, you know, okay, you missed this, you missed that, you know, you take a shortcut here. Do you ever get that? You ever have that? Every devotee gets that. You get these pointers. And then we can just say, no, it's okay, you know. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing actually fantastic. I'm actually doing great. And Krishna says, okay, have fun. Or we can work with Krishna. And Krishna will give us more and more information. And he will guide us. He can direct our chariot. So to connect with the childlike ISKCON, in this mood of Prabhupada, this mood of Vatsalya Ras, being in an anxiety, how to protect ISKCON, how to nurture and nourish ISKCON, how to cultivate unity and diversity and not be threatened by diversity or by unity. That is a constant challenge. I know today is Dvadasi, and we're asked to stop on time. So I'll just make one or two more short points, and then we'll have some questions and reflections. So let us try to imbibe this meditation of the baby Krishna, the childlike ISKCON, that we're trying to protect, nurture, and serve in a mood of Prabhupada, in a mood of Vatsalya Ras. How about that as a meditation for Kartik? I think that was an interesting type of meditation. Now, sometimes we hear, because ISKCON is none different from Krishna, so where are the demons, right? Where are the demons? There must be demons in ISKCON also. Have you thought of that? Have you ever looked around looking for demons? Huh? Are you a demon? Are you a demon? Are you a demon? Are you a demon? Huh? But when I look into my heart, I see so many demoniac tendencies. I see so many demoniac qualities. How many demons did Lord Chaitanya kill? Approximately, roughly. An estimate. Can't be true. None? How many demons did Krishna kill? I mean, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are non-different, right? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. How many demons did Krishna kill? Approximately.
20.
The principal ones are mentioned. There's about 25 of them. But there are many more. At least three a day. Right? At least three a day. So that goes over 1,000 if you count just a few years that Krishna was there. And Lord Chaitanya did not kill one demon. Even when Jagai Madai attacked Lord Nityananda, he was pleading with him, telling him, "You have come here to give your mercy. If you kill them, you're going to have to kill everybody." So how is the demoniac tendencies in the living entity killed? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By the performance of Harinam Sankirtan, this is the antidote. This is what kills the demoniac tendency in the heart of the living entity and in the heart of the neophyte devotee. Huh? So we need broad-minded devotees who can accommodate the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and who can take this message forward to all places around the globe, immersing themselves in Krishna anxiety. What can I do for Krishna? What can I do for Prabhupada? Sometimes people get into this mood of Shantaras. You're a Shantaras, right? You're okay, I'm okay, everybody goes home happy. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. You like Shantaras? You cannot be in Shantaras with your spiritual master. There's only one Ras, it's called servitorship. And that means, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? Sometimes for whatever reason, people get into Shantaras with their guru. They think, my guru is just a picture on the altar. I accept the philosophy, I accept Prabhupada, but you know, I have my differences with the institution and maybe this one and that one, including the Diksha guru. And then people start walking on very thin ice. So The empowerment comes through Guru Parampara. We have to be broad-minded enough to appreciate all our seniors, all our teachers, even if they have different emphasis, different realizations, different moods. Why? Because it's all part of Krishna anxiety. It's all part of making Krishna more famous. Now, of course, when we see people getting off on their own projects, at getting into self-aggrandizement, then something has to be corrected. The Maoris in New Zealand, again, since it's the Rugby World Cup in Japan, have a saying that the sweet potato does not have to tell anybody how sweet he is. Did you get that? The sweet potato does not have to tell anybody how sweet he is. In a similar way, devotees don't have to be worried about communicating their own achievements or their own qualities, because Krishna has made it his business to glorify his devotees. What does Yashoda mean? The one who spreads the fame. Yashoda is spreading the fame of Devaki as the mother of Krishna. That is her business. She's glorifying Devaki. You're so fortunate. You're Krishna's mother. And in a similar way, Devaki say, no, but he grew up with you. You had him all this time. You're much more fortunate. You're the ones who actually saw him grow. And in this way, they're glorifying each other. This is the business of devotees. Huh? Have you ever seen a devotee and thought, oh no, I don't want to talk to that one? Nope, I don't want to talk to that one. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to talk to him. I'll pretend he doesn't exist. You know, it's a Vaishnava aparadha if you don't feel happy when you see a devotee. This can be a serious threat to your meditation. You know that meditation of seeing the childlike Krishna? The childlike ISKCON in Vatsalya Ras, that meditation of Prabhupada. Do you like that meditation? Who here likes this meditation? Come on, work with me, people. That meditation may break right there when you decide in your own mind, I'm not going to look at this Vaishnav, I'm not going to greet this Vaishnav, I'm not going to feel happy because I met this Vaishnav. That meditation, boom, gone. It's powerful. Huh? That fast. Krishna likes variety. Could you imagine if we only had mechanical engineers here? I mean, some things would work, but a lot of other things probably wouldn't. Huh? So, Krishna has created amazing variety. Amazing variety. Like, there are bugs that I don't know that existed before I came to Mayapur. Have you ever discovered new types of bug species? There are very, very amazing bugs here in Mayapur. And flowers and birds. Huh? These little birds are completely yellow. And they have a bit of black on their tail. And they can really fly in amazing patterns. Yeah, they're really cruising. And they're not even worried about the hawks and about the others because they're moving on a different scale. Krishna likes variety. So he likes all his varieties of devotees. So let us appreciate all varieties of devotees in the mood of Prabhupada, in the mood of Devaki and Yashoda, who would appreciate each other, glorify each other, see the good in each other, and encourage each other in their devotional service. Why? Because it's all part of Krishna anxiety. Huh? So we talked about Krishna anxiety, talked about affection a little bit. Mother Yashoda's affection is pure, it's unalloyed. There is no tinge of Aishwarya, of opulence, of knowledge, of any type of grandeur. It's all about her little child. That is a very deep, a very intimate, a very precious meditation. The Acharyas tell us in the Nectar of Devotion that the lower rasas depend on circumstance and on reciprocation. But Vatsalya Ras is so strong that it does not depend on external circumstances nor upon reciprocation. Because your child is your child, and that's it. End of discussion. No matter in which situation. So if we have that mood towards ISKCON, ISKCON as the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, as that little child, baby Krishna, who is loving his variety of devotees and playing all kinds of pranks and all kinds of mischief to draw out more anxiety, more love, more affection from his devotees. That is the mood in which the Goswamis of Vrindavan were going through the forests of Vrindavan. He braje brajabdevike chalalite he nanda sunakutaha, crying out, where is Krishna? Where is Radha? Where can I find you? They didn't see themselves as eternal associates. They didn't see themselves as direct servants. They simply wanted to become the servant of the servant of the servant. In the Padyavali, Rupa Goswami says, if I can find it. I can't. Anyway, it'll come to me. Hare Krishna. We got some time for questions, comments, and reflections. Yes, in the back. Yes, in the Padyavali text 240, Srila Rupa Goswami says that separation is better than union. Because when I'm together with Krishna, there is only one Krishna. But when Krishna chooses to be absent, then there is many Krishnas, because I see Krishna everywhere, in everything and in everyone. So sometimes people get a little upset. Why did Krishna leave the Brijbasis, and why did he go some other place? Actually, he increased their love and affection. And he never leaves Vrindavan in his unmanifested form. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. You have a nice class. I've got two questions. One is on the verse, and then the other one is on relationship. The first one is that Devaki is addressing Krishna, the Vishnu Krishna, as Madhusudan. And Madhusudan is thousands of times more powerful than Kamsa. Then why does she want Krishna to become a baby rather than take Kamsa out at that stage straight out?
Because she says it and it makes sense. But then her affection takes over. And she says, You gotta hide. You gotta hide, you know? Like, you understand? Has affection ever overpowered? Has emotions ever overpowered your intellect? It's sometimes a little hard to comprehend for men, but it can happen, right? So what she says is correct. But what she feels is reality. And that is what she wants.
Second question, about communication and seeing always devotees as, you know, in happiness. I agree with you. However, if you had a relationship with someone and you just want to be neutral to them, and you want to avoid the, giving any information out that you are favorable or unfavorable to them, then why not remain neutral? What's the big deal?
Well, no one is neutral in this world. Not even the Swiss are neutral. So, we can still appreciate devotees of different flavors and walks and styles, even if it's not our style, and our even if we had something that was not really pleasant. Why not see that this devotee has helped me better myself, face my anartha, become a more introspective and kind and compassionate devotee? Why not see that devotee as our friend rather than our enemy? Would you say this is part of our Vaishnava theology or Siddhanta? I don't think that we can go to the spiritual world bearing grudges or being in, we're just neutral, you know, he's okay and that one's okay too, and the rest of the bunch, don't talk about them. You know how long time you're going to spend with those people? How long is eternity? It's a long bunch. Are you ready to spend eternity with people that you're, you know, I'm okay, but not too close, right? Do you want to hang out with people like that for eternity? Not really, right? So there has to be some upgrading of consciousness. Otherwise, it's no go. Some homework.
Just last one. Is it possible to be favorable to everybody? Not favorable, but what you're saying is to be close to everybody.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Really?
You know, you see by the Goswamis, dhira dhira janak priya priya karo. They had no feelings of enmity or friendship. They were equally disposed to everybody because they saw everybody as part and parcels of Krishna. They didn't hate
I'm not talking about hate. I'm just like neutrality.
They were okay. They still did what they had to do their service, but they did not have that negativity. You cannot keep negativity in your heart if you want your heart to become softer. You got one over here? Yeah, one in the back and then next one in the front.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So on the meditation of nurturing baby like ISKCON, and then you spoke of the challenges, feeling threatened of diversity and unity, things like that. So just what are some of the things like pointers that we could use to meditate upon? One thing that comes to my mind is injecting enough spiritual intelligence into the movement itself for a strong foundation, like you spoke of nurturing the baby with mother's milk. So this is one thought. Could you throw some more ideas?
Yes, these are some of the things. Appreciating each other, appreciating the diversity, seeing that everybody is trying their level best sincerely to serve Krishna. There are different ways how to serve Krishna. But to always make sure we're connected to the spiritual sound vibration, to the Harinam Sankirtan, and to sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Otherwise, we fall back into the anxiety about, how am I doing? What are my problems? You know, I got problems in my life. You want to tell me about my problems? So that is a default setting in the material world. But if we have taken on this Krishna anxiety, and how can we help Prabhupada's movement, then we realize there is very little room for anxiety and difficulty in my own life. We got one in the front here. Do three questions because the time is up and there's two more hands up. Sorry, we can discuss afterwards. So she got one and then we take last one back here. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. It's a curiosity question because we hear that Devaki and Vasudev, they were Prishni and Sutapa, and they did so many austerities to beget the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their child. And What about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda? They are eternal parents of Krishna?
Yes. It's unfair, right? 12,000 years of austerities for Sutapa and Krishna. And these guys over here, you can complain to Krishna next time you see him. Tell him why. They're Nitya Siddhas, they're Sadhana Siddhas, it's different types of devotees. Krishna is, again, not stereotype. He likes all his devotees. Last question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I don't have a question. I just wanted to share something, if you'll allow me.
Sure, we got 2.5 minutes.
Just to compliment this point about, you made during the class about how Krishna creates anxiety by apparently disappearing from the devotees association. And I heard one senior preacher once mentioned that one of the acharyas explained that the reason why Krishna creates these kind of difficult situations, they use the analogy of a baby elephant. Those situations, those adverse situations, so the devotee has to swim upstream and face these challenges, and by doing that, his bhakti strengthens and becomes more apparent. And the devotee himself realizes how much love he has and what love feels like. So I thought that was powerful, and I just wanted to share it.
Thank you so much. We got last but not least.
I'm in a lot of anxiety right now.
Because the bell is ringing?
Whether I should tell this story or not. This is a story about anxiety.
I got direct orders to quit at 9 sharp.
Well, you quit. I'll talk.
I'll walk out.
So they found this building in Toronto, and it was searching for years to find a temple. And they finally found this church that was for sale. And they approached Srila Prabhupada and said, this is a building, it's fantastic, it's a church, we could do this here, we could do this here, this is all set up, it's wonderful. And Prabhupada says, oh, it sounds very nice, it has this, very nice, and how much is it? And they said, they're asking $500,000. Well, back in 1975, $500,000 was way more than anybody has ever spent on a temple. So Prabhupada says, no, why should we purchase anxiety? It's so much money. All we'll have to do is think about making money. That's not our job. Our job is to remember Krishna, not to purchase anxiety. And Prabhupada says, has large temple room? And they say, oh yes, Prabhupada. It was a church, so it's like it's made for a temple room. Prabhupada says, oh yes. But we don't want anxiety. Why should we purchase anxiety? And the devotee says, well, okay, Prabhupada. He says, where is it located? He says, well, it's on the main street, Srila Prabhupada. He says, too much anxiety. $500,000, too much anxiety. And then the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, maybe when you come to Toronto in a few weeks, because you're scheduled to come, you could come see this. So Prabhupada arrives in Toronto. On the way to the temple, the current temple, he says, let's go see this building. And devotees say, oh yes, we'll take you, Srila Prabhupada. But they see it. It is everything that is described. It's perfect for a temple. And how much is it again? He said, $500,000 they're asking. He says, well, how much do you have? He says, well, we have $40,000. He says, do you think you can collect another $60,000? I guess we could try, Srila Prabhupada. And he says to Brahmananda, how much money is in the BBT? He says, well, there's about $200,000. He says, give it to them. We will give it to them. And Brahmana says, we've never given that much money. Brahmana says, give it to them. And then he says to the devotee, do you think you could pay back $200,000? And, well, Prabhupada, I mean, that's a lot of money. And, well, we don't want to purchase anxiety. And Prabhupada says, there must be anxiety. Otherwise, you will simply sit around, eat prasadam, and get fat.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
They purchased the building.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Harinam Sankirtan ki. Bhagavat Prasad ki. Gaur Pramanande. Happy Kartik. Haribol.